Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in Revelation chapter 20. And in the previous episode, we looked at the first three verses. So let's go back and read those again and continue on through the chapter. And we are going to take our time here because there's some things here that people get, shall we say, distracted over. Hang on a second. Speaking of being distracted over, somebody just sent me a text I need to respond to immediately. There we go. Isn't it amazing how you can do that? There's a lot of misconception, a lot of misteaching, a lot of misapplication, not from a malicious intent necessarily, but a lot of times from the intent to try to make somebody's system of end-time understanding make sense. And boy, they'll take these passages right here and twist them and say, well, this is this and this is that, just all sorts of stuff. So anyway, let's just jump into it. Revelation 20, verse 1 says this. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So in the previous episode, we looked at this, and it is sort of strange, okay? This angel comes down. He has the key to the abyss. So what does that tell you? The abyss has been locked up, is lockable, and he has a great chain. He lays hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil, who is the Satan, and he binds him with his chain and throws him in the abyss for 1,000 years. Why? So often that question is missed. Why? To where he will not deceive the nations any longer. Then the very next word, until 1,000 years were completed. And that word completed gives the idea that it hasn't taken place yet. It's going to be completed. The reason he's bound for 1,000 years is where he won't deceive the nations during that 1,000-year time period. But at the end of it, after these things, he must be released. When he's released, he will deceive the nations. So let's continue on. Verse 4. Then I saw thrones. This is John speaking. And boy, that is a echoes right there of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel had a similar type of experience where he had a vision and saw thrones. Then I saw thrones, excuse me, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. Well, that's sort of interesting. You notice that there's thrones, plural. They, plural, sat on the thrones, plural. And judgment was given to them. Okay, who's the them? Well, we're not told yet. We're just told that. The verse continues. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So according to this verse right here, we see who is going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, who's coming to life, who John sees. Who does he see? He sees those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus, which tells us that that's going to be a lot of folks. A lot. It's not just going to be one or two here or there. They were beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And also he saw those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and who had not received the mark. Okay? These come to life and they reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So sometimes it's ask, often it is not ask, but are these the only folks who will reign with Christ for 1,000 years? Because immediately most of us are going, hey, I thought that we were going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord for 1,000 years. Yeah, I know what you mean. Here is talking about those who had gone through the time of the tribulation, the great tribulation, the man of lawlessness against believers and against the Jews. And many of them had been killed. But then some of them had not received the mark on their forehead and their hands, but they had died also. They come to life. They're ruling and reign. Are they the only ones that are going to rule and reign with the Lord? Well, we don't know from this passage. Okay, we don't know. But we know that these will. But watch the next verse. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection is when he's seeing the souls of these that have been beheaded because of their testimony, because of the word of God, seeing them come to life. He says everybody else who's dead, in other words, everybody else who's not a believer, everybody else who did not reject that, they're not going to come to life until the 1,000 years is completed. I believe what's being mentioned and what's being addressed right here is those who are unbelievers will not be resurrected until the 1,000-year reign of the Lord. Then they'll be resurrected and they'll be standing before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. That's what's going on there. Watch this. Verse 6 gives us more insight. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. That gives us a little bit of an insight and a little bit of a hint, I think, and a little comfort also. Because what's it saying? The ones who are a part of this first resurrection, they will not experience the second death. What's the second death? Well, the first death is when we die. If you live long enough, you're going to die, right? That's speaking of that, of the first death. The second death is the death that's experienced when you are judged and thrown into the lake of fire and you're constantly dying, but you never die. So what's being shown here is that the ones who are taking part of this first resurrection will not experience that second death. That makes me believe that, yeah, what Satan said in verse 4, those that are undergoing the great tribulation that refuse the mark, okay, that stand firm, even though they're killed, they're going to come to life, they're going to rule and reign. But also those who believed prior to that time, okay, those who believe and that are with the Lord then, they have died, in other words, they are with the Lord, they will not experience the second death, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, why 1,000 years? Oh, yeah, there's all sorts of questions about that, okay? There really are. And there's some undercurrents that you see all through the scripture about that 1,000-year type time period. There's no man that lived 1,000 years. Methuselah lived longer than anybody. He lived, what was it, 969 years, I think, something like that. There's a picture that's involved with that that I think we get a little bit of insight into that people extrapolate way too far sometimes. But it's significant. I'll just put it that way. It's going to be another part of what God is doing in the redemption of mankind. What is the purpose of that? Well, we've seen from what it said right here is that where Satan will not deceive the nations until the 1,000 years are completed. And we're going to see in the very next verse that he's going to be released. Well, why would God do that? Well, we'll look at that in the next episode. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you then. Goodbye.